Well, this morning, our texts take us to at least consider the notion of darkness, and the lengthy reading in John, the story often called the man who heals the man who was, Jesus heals the man who was born blind, is a delightful story in many ways. It's one of the funnier ones, or at least it has funny moments in it. I find it hard to believe that the man who was blind was completely ingenuous when he suggested that the Pharisees might want to become Jesus' disciples also, because they kept asking him the same questions over and over again. But what's interesting about that whole story is that there are questions all through it, but they're frequently the wrong questions. Jesus' disciples asked, well, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus says, what are you talking about? That's not it at all. We have better questions, among things, who is it that can do miraculous signs? And we have this person being asked questions by people who have made an a priori, to use a lovely Latin bit, assumption that we see in verse 16, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. A priori assumptions are just, you've decided something before you've looked at any of the evidence. And if you've decided that good people don't do things on the Sabbath, then obviously anything good done on the Sabbath isn't really good and wasn't done by a good person. We look down on people when we notice it in others. We tend to forget how frequently we do it, or at least I do, because I do that kind of thing fairly often, and I try to rise above it. But we see someone who has been healed that God might be glorified in Jesus' ministry, not because of anything that person did, more or less, which takes me to Ephesians. And our Ephesians passage uses some language again that is very interesting, in that it begins with, for you were once darkness. And the technical term for this is reification, and it's ascribing a thing to a person in such a way that they are the thing. And what it says here, and what Paul is saying, that in this particular sense, he's not making a statement for all time, for all people, he's saying that when it comes to how we were before we encountered the living God through Jesus, we were, as it were, darkness. That's all that we were. But now you are light in the Lord. We had a presbytery meeting yesterday, and I talked a little bit about this passage as part of my duties as moderator, which continue for at least one more meeting. I'm not sure how much longer than that, but I've enjoyed it quite a lot. And I was thinking about this idea of how we, at one point, were darkness. And for some people, you may not even remember that period of your life. I do quite clearly. As someone who came to faith, a meaningful faith in God, in an adult rather than as a child or all of that. I mean, yes, I was raised in the church, but it didn't really stick for me for whatever reason. But there was a time that I can clearly remember that, to use this as a metaphor, I was darkness. I did very few things that weren't to my benefit one way or another. As I've said before, perfection is denied human beings even to be perfectly evil or perfectly dark. Obviously, I wasn't, you know, some kind of a monster. But I look at that, and then I see this wonderful transition, but now you are light in the Lord. And then we're exhorted or challenged to live as children of the light. And here we have the fruit of the light. We have the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. But here we have the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And then we can find out what pleases the Lord. Sometimes it's hard for me to live as if I am the light. And maybe this is something that resonates with you as well. If there are things that we did before we moved into this relationship or moved into a mature relationship with Jesus, a number of which, for me, were things that I did over and over again, and I think possibly for other people as well. And so what you end up doing is you build patterns into your life, habits, whatever you want to call them, where you do things in a particular way for particular purposes. And even when you come to the conclusion that what you're doing either is a bad way to do it, or your ends are bad, or both, those patterns still remain. Those patterns of interacting with people, those patterns of thinking, all of those things that you laid down in your life when you were unaware of God's love for you, perhaps, is the best way to think of it. Still, they can still be there. And even some of those patterns that you've worked very hard to eradicate, and you have for the most part, for me at least, every once in a while, they sort of throw up their shadow, if you will. In some ways, it's a lot like, you know, giving up something like smoking. I've never talked to anybody who gave up smoking who doesn't say that at least now and then, a particular situation, a smell, a something, think reminds them of that, and they think, oh, that would be good, but I won't. Like, that's what someone who's successfully given up smoking. You still have those feelings, but you don't give in to them. In the same way, some of those behaviors that we took on to ourselves and we thought made sense when we were in that darkness, or we were that darkness, can continue. And if we're not careful, we'll think, oh, I guess I am still kind of dark. But Paul says we're not. Paul says you were once darkness, but you are light in the Lord. One of the things that I've encountered over and over again in my own experience, and as I've talked to other people working through what it means to be a follower of Jesus in a world that doesn't necessarily help that, is we are constantly given opportunities to give in to what we used to be like. And when we do give in to temptation or whatever it might be, we often think that therefore there's the darkness is actually kind of stronger than the light. But it's not. And when we think about it carefully, when I think about the last time I gave into a temptation, I think, oh, I did it again, or maybe I did it for the first time, whatever it might be, and I think, how could that be? How could I do that? I must have darkness in there somewhere. There must be something fundamentally wrong with me, and that this light is insufficient. But if I think about that, and then think, okay, if that behavior makes you think this way, how about we think of all those other times you didn't? How about we think of all the other times you were in a similar situation and you didn't give in to temptation? And maybe this is a struggle only for me, but I don't think so. There's something about us that tends to focus on what we've done wrong and fixate on it and ruminate on it and hold on to it what seems like forever. But we don't have to. And I think, looking at what Paul says here, we probably shouldn't either. The reality of us as human, fallen human beings in a fallen world is going to continually put before us opportunities to do things we don't want to. And sometimes we'll give in. And so when that happens, what we do, at least what I think we should do, is instead of saying, oh, that ratifies the sin within me, to say that's an opportunity, that's a demonstration of the fact that I haven't been made perfect yet. But I look at all those other times that I have not given into temptation, when I have not done that thing. And in there, in those actions, the good ones, that's where I see the reality of the light within me. That fruit of light, the times that I was good, righteous, or acted in truth. And for most of us, that's most of the time. I've been reading Richard Rohr. I've been reading Richard Rohr off and on for the last number of years. And he had a very interesting thing in something I read earlier this week. And he said, it is okay for us to say that this moment is as perfect as it can be. And each of us are as perfect as we can be. And I thought about that. And I was talking about it with a friend of mine who has sort of a similar bent to me. And what we realize is what he's saying isn't that we need to take on ourselves some kind of an arrogant sense of perfection. But we need to look at the fact that this moment is the only one we have. This day is the only one we have. People in recovery often talk about one day at a time. And people in the mindfulness movement and meditation talk about being fully present because we tend to want to live in the past or the future. But one of the things that struck me is that the truth of this statement is that everything that went before us to this moment means that this is the only moment there is. If we would have made different choices in the past, it would be a different moment. But we can't tell ourselves, because we didn't make those different choices, this isn't the best moment. What moment could be better than this? It's the only one that is. It's a group of one. How do you rank a group of one? You can't. And one of the things that this passage pushed me to was to pay attention to the reality that no matter where we've come from, this is where we are. And in this moment, we are all that we can be. If we make different choices, we can be different people tomorrow. But to spend our time today thinking, oh, if only, all we'll do is make ourselves unhappy and lose sight of what we can do now. So what about darkness? It's a reality. It's a reality for all of us. It's in all of us. We see over and over again, Paul and Jesus and all through Scripture, writings addressed to the evil within the human mind, all the way from soul is desperately wicked and beyond all cure and all of those things. We know that it's real. But that's not all. Because we were once darkness, but we are light. The darkness tries to jump in every once in a while. And sometimes it gets in our way, and sometimes that's all we can see. But if we take a step back, if we take a moment to think, or if we ask someone else to help us think this through, what we see is that we are not darkness. We are light. And the shadows of our past, the shadows of our current behaviors that we wish we didn't do, those don't mean that we are dark. It means that we aren't finished yet. It means that we haven't achieved perfection yet, whether we achieve it in this world or the next. We're not there yet, no matter where it will happen. So what about darkness? It's there, it's real, but it's not who we are. Paul tells us. Jesus gives evidence to it. And our own lives, when we take a step back, or maybe better yet, the lives of the people around us that we see, give evidence to that reality that while we were once darkness, now we are light. Amen.